If you're looking for the skills and tools to succeed in real estate investing, you've come to the right place. This show is about breaking through barriers, breaking through limiting beliefs, and breaking through to the life that you want to live through the power of real estate investing. You're listening to the Breakthrough Real Estate Investing Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Bray and Quentin D'Souza.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again today. Another exciting show lined up, right, Quentin?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Lots happening on the real estate front, some interesting changes. So it'll be good to start off with some conversation around those changes.
All right, let's do it. But first, I want everyone to go over to breakthroughreipodcast.ca. Listen to all of our past episodes there. Get in touch with everyone that we've done interviews with, because all of their stuff, all the links to get in touch with them is all in the show notes. So if somebody really resonated with what you're trying to do, you can go over there and get all their info. Reach out to the guests that we've had on, because a lot of times they really do enjoy sharing all the stuff and more than what they shared on the show with us. So go over and do that. And then go over to iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. Helps the show. Everybody knows that. If you haven't done it, please go over and leave us a rating and review. And that's that. So now, Quentin, what's going on with you? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Actually, I wanted to also say, like, if you know somebody who would benefit from listening to the show, make sure to share it with other people, because that helps us as well. Just the announcement last week, which was half a point rate drop from the Fed. I mean, that's a big one. I haven't seen a half a point like that in, you know, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen one. It's like 30 or 40 years.
Was the financial crisis, wasn't it?
I don't think it was half a point though. I think it was quarters, but they were quicker. But I can't remember a half a point all at once. So, I mean, there's a couple of reasons where that could be. It could be, you know, maybe they're behind the eight ball a little bit and they're catching up. Could be some other something that we're not seeing, because unemployment is, you know, was readjusted. So the numbers were readjusted. I think they were like corrected by 800,000 or something, like a big number. But at the same time, I mean, as the Fed was making that announcement, they're also saying that, well, unemployment's still okay. So it was kind of interesting why they would say one thing and kind of do something else, telegraphing, right? And then at the same time, we had surprise announcements from from Freeland around 30-year amortizations and CMHC mortgage insured mortgages up to 1.5 million. Now, the, you know, developers and different agencies have been pushing to try to get 1.25 million for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Once they've made that change from to a million for CMHC insured mortgages, and now they've, you know, all of a sudden kind of turned and did 1.5 million. So it's kind of interesting. I think it's more of a political move than anything else. Because I mean, a starter home in Toronto, sure. Vancouver, sure. Maybe it's closer to 1.5 million, but. Yeah, and the insurance so far doesn't seem to cover anything other than new builds and first time home buyers, but not investor products. So so if you're buying an investment condo or something like that, it's not covered under that. So really, there are people who will buy property and say that they're going to move in, and then they move out and, you know, rent it out. But there was a lot of miscommunication in the mainstream media, like, that had said that it was going to, cover off investment products and things like that, like investment condos, and kind of save the condo market. But I don't think that's happening. And you're going to get some more details this week on the on those changes, but it's quite interesting to hear and see. And I think that the condo sales are the lowest they've ever been. And I think there's a lot of trouble that's happening with those projects, particularly this year. Even from one of our last guests, Michael Wyrett or Luke Wyrett, he was talking about, switching over his developments from condo projects to rental projects. Probably some of the back end of that is he's finally, after like 5 years of trying to get it to the finish line, can start to offer it. And now the market's changed, right? So it's some real challenges that are happening out there for, developers, and also, people who are closing on mortgages now. They bought 2 years ago and their project could be worth $100,000, $200,000 less than what they purchased it for. So they're going to have to come up with the difference. Go ahead.
So it's not condos that are having that problem, because people who are closing on condos now were bought 4 or 5 years ago. So they still have some equity or can sell it at what they bought it for. Mm-hmm. Typically, there's some people who have some issues. It's people who bought pre-sale homes.
Yeah.
And they close 6-12 months after, 18 months after. They're the ones that are really sitting on a bag, and that's the issue. And listen, smart investors are buying condos right now.
Interesting. Is that what you're seeing?
That's what I'm seeing. Yep.
Okay. And why do you say that? Like, have you seen, because I've the numbers of sales, when you look at it compared to last year or the year before,
it's tough to sell a condo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the perfect time to sell buy a condo, as an investor. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to sell a condo, you have to go in, you have to have a really good price, right?
Yep.
And investors, if you can come in and be an investor, and like a lot of them are doing midterm rentals or something like that, and they're picking up projects in good buildings that they like. And, if there's 10 properties listed, they'll go and put an offer in on 10 properties and say, hey, if you want to sell, here's my number.
Oh, interesting. So you're right. Looking for the most desperate, basically.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you're setting a new price on those properties.
That's right.
Yeah, very cool. Interesting.
That in the apartment building space too. It's mm-hmm. not as bad, but we see value investors coming back into the market like we haven't seen in 5, 6, 7, 8 years. People like yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen projects now that are penciling. I mentioned it last time that didn't make sense before. They've come down $1 million on their sale price. I saw a project in Oshawa that was $3.2 million, now down to like $2.2 million. And it's kind of like, oh, now that makes a little bit more sense, right? So it's interesting to see. All right. What we have to introduce our guest here as well. So I wanted to introduce Mark Loeffler. I don't know how long I've known Mark, for probably like 16 or 17 years, quite a while.
20, who knows?
Yeah.
Back in rain days.
Yeah, back in 2008, 2007. So he's an investor. He's an entrepreneur. He's a realtor. He has interest in multiple businesses. I know he's also the best-selling author of 2 books, Investing in Rent-to-Own Property, and he co-authored Fix and Flip for Canadians. I don't know. I think you've been a realtor for at least over 10 years. 15 years. Wow. And he has a YouTube channel, The Mark Loeffler Experience. I don't know if he's updating that, but he was having fun on those projects for a while. And I've known him. I've been up to his cottage. He showed me the great fishing spots on his lake, which is good. And we had some good barbecues. So I think That's a little bit about Mark, but maybe you could tell, the audience, how did you get started?
How did I get started in real estate? Yeah, so I had an economics background. I took economics in University of Western Ontario. I got it, came out. I had started doing sales, and growing up, I had seen like my grandfather. He wasn't an investor by any means, but he bought the cottage next to ours in 1988 for $10,000. And then once I was able to figure out money and all that in the mid 90s, I'm like, well, that $10,000 property you bought is now worth, a couple hundred thousand dollars. And I see people go to work 9 to 5 job, and they don't make that in a year or two or three or four or even five back then, right? So I was like, well, there's got to be something to this. And I was always a numbers guy. I love numbers. Numbers are my jam. I love playing with numbers. And I got into a sales role, and one of the guys there like introduced me to this other gentleman who was buying properties in Newmarket, Ontario. And I read a couple books, Dulf de Roos, Real Estate Riches, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I learned how to buy properties through that, just running numbers. And I went and bought a duplex in Newmarket, Ontario, in the Patch. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have a mortgage till 6 days before it. I didn't have my lawyer set. I didn't have anything set up. I had nothing. But I, closed on the property. I think we were a little delayed. And yeah, that the rest is history. I own a fair bit of real estate now, and graduated to multifamily buildings at some point along the way because I like commercial financing better. But yeah, I've done everything in between, from fix and flip, rent to owns, BRRRs. Like, we were BRRRing back in the day when it wasn't even called BRRRs. Yep, that's right. Value add, the sweat equity. So.
That's cool. I know you've done a ton of different types of projects and flips and all of that, Mark. You got a real wealth of experience. And then you're as a broker as well, and
Yeah, I've done thousands of transactions as a real estate agent, and yeah, helped a lot of investors for sure. A lot of them have become realtors too.
Except me. For
Except
some
you.
reason, I tend to
Maybe you're the
not want
smart one. I don't know.
to. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I know that you were investing in Ontario. Maybe talk a little bit about, because you had a fair size portfolio in Ontario,
Yep.
and you switched to Alberta. And what led you to sell your portfolio in Ontario, and was there some timing involved in it? I think that let's start off there.
Sure. So I had accumulated a couple hundred doors in Hamilton, and I'd done it with one partner, and the partner kind of went COVID crazy, and wanted to change the terms of our agreement or said sell. And I said, listen, I think it's a good time to sell anyways. Interest rates were like stupid low. We were selling buildings at less than a 3 cap. Stuff that we had bought a year before, we like gained 40% on. And it's like you look at that and say, well, I wouldn't buy it for that now. Why don't we just sell these buildings and go our separate ways? So it turns out we sold close to the peak of the market. We did very well on those. And then, while I was look after selling that, you're looking around the Ontario market and you're like, well, where can I go to reinvest this money? Because I like real estate, obviously. And in the like that market, I wasn't gonna buy it at a sub 3 cap. Basically, I was taking 10 years worth of the profit away by buying at that. So I, I was like, interest rates can't stay this low forever. And then I started exploring. So I went out east because a lot of people were buying out east. I looked down south in a number of markets, and I looked out in Alberta. And at that time, 3 and a half years ago, nobody really was considering Alberta. So I kind of like to do what people aren't doing. I like to go where the crowd isn't. So there was no crowd there. So it was, basically shoot fish in a barrel to buy deals back then. You'd have your selection of how many. And it's funny. I likened it to Hamilton when I first started being an agent there, where you used to go, and there used to be five or six apartment buildings for sale. You'd go through all of them. Three or four of the numbers would work, and you'd really debate which one you wanted to buy. And who knew you should have just bought all of them, right? But it's kind of like that now in Alberta. And I said that, and people said, well, is it the same? And I'm like, I don't know. You always get that, you start thinking too much. But I've built a decent sized portfolio now in Alberta, and I'm just, refinancing a couple more, and then who knows, I might buy some more there, might then explore a different market. I still think we have great opportunity in Alberta. I think, I don't know. The government, the Alberta government thinks they're going to lead the country in economic growth for the next 49 years. So I think
Wow,
it's a good place
wouldn't
to be.
surprise me.
Yeah,
But
me neither.
here's a question for you. Do you think if, like, because it sounds circumstantial, right, that you found yourself in Alberta, do you think you would have discovered it if you weren't selling those buildings?
Probably not. No. If I didn't
No.
have capital to reinvest, I probably wouldn't have gone out there.
That's interesting. So it was a good, just when one door closes, another one opens, right?
Exactly. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So good
it's it,
stuff.
and so the strategy that you use going into Alberta. So it's a little unfair because I know Mark pretty well. So you the strategy that you went when you first started in Alberta, it changed and evolved over time, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can explain that because I think it makes a big difference to like the investment dollars that you have to put into those buildings in Alberta and why you kind of did that and why you kind of shifted.
So when we first bought, we bought like the worst of the worst. And
Oh,
we
yeah.
put like a lot of money in and we made them really nice, like the worst of the worst in okay neighborhoods. But we put a lot of money into them and hey, we get good rents. But for my beautiful unit, I get $50 more than my neighbor
Right.
now. And it's like, well, I spent that much more and it's that much nicer. And sure, I won't have a vacancy problem ever. But I realized I don't really need to spend that much money. I
So
don't
what were
need
you
to go play.
spending? Like what were you spending
So
per unit? Like when you like describe the renovation.
yeah, we were like $35,000 to $45,000 per unit. We would take out walls, we'd put in a washer, dryer, dishwasher. So that meant reconfiguring plumbing and electrical in each unit.
Right.
So we were $35,000 to $45,000 per unit.
So you're
And
doing like condo quality, like
yeah.
apartments in,
Almost
from
like a
a,
gut,
yeah,
a
f it
gut
was a gut,
job.
yeah, full
Yeah.
gut.
And we were taking out walls, putting up beams and stuff like that, which in Ontario, I think you still have to do, because even if you maximize your rents by $100, it's not $100 you're never getting back, right? Like if you don't, then you have to wait for somebody to leave to maximize that $100 or whatever, right? So you got to start it at the highest possible rent in Ontario. Whereas in Alberta, I can, somebody comes to me and says, hey, we'll rent it for this for a year. And I'm like, okay. And then in a year, I can raise it a couple hundred dollars if I was below market rent.
Right. Yeah. So it really the effect isn't the same
Yeah.
as compared to when doing that renovation in the first place, right?
Exactly.
So now what you're doing, what kind of renovations are you doing when you're buying a building or you're advising somebody who is going to buy a building in Alberta?
Sorry, say that again.
What kind of renovation would you advise somebody who's buying a building today in Alberta?
Yeah, most people are putting 15 to 25 in. It's floors. Yeah, you might be doing kitchens and counters. The dishwasher is still good. We're not putting laundry in the suites anymore, just because, again, that was a $15,000 expense, and we just weren't seeing the value out of it. Bathrooms, lights, hallways, that type of stuff. Just keep it cheap and cheerful.
Yeah, cheap and cheerful. And what kind of value increase do you get on something like that?
So here's the difference with Alberta is, if I'm buying off an old school landlord who probably manages the building themselves or has one of the older management companies that don't like to raise rents, I can walk in and basically raise the rents $200 or $300 per unit on purchase
Wow.
without doing any work. And then if people leave, I can make a nicer unit and get higher rents.
And what size buildings are these, Mark?
15 to a couple hundred.
A couple hundred
Wow.
units.
Yeah.
So I think the
So,
audience
like,
needs to, I think the audience needs to know though that 100 or 200 per unit raise is a huge value add to the building because Ontario versus Alberta, Ontario is not is a rent controlled market and Alberta is not rent controlled.
you
But
can
if
raise
you're
rents once per year.
once per year in Alberta, so if you're going to do that and you buy a building and you immediately raise the rents $200 per unit, how much does that add to the value of the building?
So if you're just using a five cap, I mean, that's $200 per unit, $2,400 a year, it's $120,000 value.
So on purchase, you now are you still able to do that though?
Yeah, we've done it a fair bit
And
in
why
the last
doesn't
couple
the owner
months.
just do that and sell it for more?
So here's the issue now is that some of the owners are getting wise to this and just saying, well, why don't I raise the rents? And then I'll sell my building at a higher valuation. So it is happening. It's starting to happen more and more. That's why, like in the last 6 weeks, there's been zero inventory out there. Like there's,
Okay.
I can't, I have buyers for buildings. We're putting in offers and we're not getting anything. Like a lot of the stuff we're trying to buy is like not on the market. It's,
Unsolicited offers, yeah.
unsolicited. So, we're working at it, but we haven't got anything done in the last 6 weeks.
What areas are you looking in?
Mainly Edmonton, but outside of Edmonton as well.
But not
Not
Calgary, not
Calgary.
other cities, just Edmonton and the outskirts.
Edmonton, Red Deer, some of the outskirts. We've put in some offers on some smaller towns, but we haven't got those done yet. So, I for me, I think the smaller towns are a lot more cyclical than like somewhere like Edmonton. So,
Gotcha. Okay.
if you're gonna ride the wave, you can do small towns, but you got to, get out when the getting's good, I think.
Yeah, I think sometimes people you and I both know of investors who've been in that market for, 20 or 30 years, and it's particularly in the smaller like duplexes and stuff like that. They're just recovering from 2008 prices. Like
100%.
today, like
Yeah.
after, like their house prices are now just coming back, right?
Yeah, I don't even think they're back to like 07 prices yet.
Right. Like that's a huge, like if you didn't under, if you don't understand the cyclical nature of the market, that could be a problem for you, right? And so how do
I
you,
also think that they're working on that out there. I
okay.
think that they're attracting other business other than gas and oil, right? So.
Right. Yeah, so
So.
that's affecting the cyclical nature of the market.
Yeah.
With all the experience that you have, I don't want to just focus necessarily for this question. I don't want to focus necessarily just in on Alberta, but if you can sort of pinpoint some of the biggest challenges that you've had along the way and how you've overcome them, I think that'd be pretty valuable for the people listening, right?
I don't know, people, partners,
The people are the challenge. Yeah.
Well,
Partners. Yeah.
partners, yeah.
Yeah, like just management over time.
So with the partners, let's dig into that a little bit. With the partners,
Sure.
what would you say would be the best way for someone to maybe not run into the same problem as you did, where you see, and I think probably like you with a joint venture agreement or a co-venture agreement, whatever you want to call it, most of the time, mine now is pretty good to where, it has the contingencies for everything that comes up, but even still, and yours probably did too. But to be amicable, sometimes you go outside of them and make other agreements that, isn't just you saying, hey, look, this is what it says right here, and this is what we're going to do. So, what would your suggestions be on handling those kind of issues?
It's like anything. If you're getting in partnership with anyone, whether business, personal, whatever, just plan the divorce.
Yeah.
Plan the divorce. What happens if the when this all goes wrong?
What happens when they don't contribute money to a cash call? What happens when they, you're trying to finance something and then they're not willing to go on the financing, right? Like all these things,
Well, most likely. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, like definitely, like that's all part of the pre-planning of the joint venture stuff. But how have you been able to handle some of these challenges that have come up? Like, because it can be very trying, right? It can, you really have to have the perseverance and the resilience to kind of keep going and keep pushing yourself.
Yeah, I've gotten to the time where I just don't want any partners.
And you can do that. Yeah.
Just do it myself and or whatever, right? So,
You know, it's interesting when you talk about stuff like that because there's so many different ways that you can work with a partner, and like sometimes I've talked to people where, you know, they'll use like most of us, at least at some point or another, had joint venture partners that stayed on for our holds, right? And they were there in that capacity. And then I've talked to other people who said, I don't want any partners on my holds. You know, I'll flip with partners, right? And I'll buy my holds myself. So there's all kinds of different ways to do it.
Yeah,
So
there's a
you just
hundred
got to
ways to skin
figure
a cat, right?
it. Yeah, and I think, and the way that I see it is like, why would I ever have a partner on a flip? I would just pay for the money. Like, I would, right? Like, I'd just pay more points on the money and never take a partner on a flip. But on a hold, like, I don't know how many, it just depends on what, how big of an asset base you want or need, right? Because it's very particular. Like, if I'm buying, 25 buildings, I'm going to need partners to be able to do that. If all I want is two or three buildings and I own it myself, sure, I can do that. And it's all like needs and wants. Like, what do you really need? I don't know.
I don't need 25 buildings.
No, I know. And you've kind of figured out for yourself, like this is because it makes it a lot easier for me to deal with people because it's just my stuff and nobody else's. Right?
If I tell someone to shove it, it doesn't affect other people and their money.
Right. And that's always a challenge when you're dealing with other people's money, for
Right.
sure.
Very stressful. Although some people that have
I
been in
mean,
the
I haven't
news
lost
lately
my
don't
hair
seem
like
to
you guys,
really.
so maybe I don't have as much many partners.
What's that?
I haven't lost my hair like you guys, so maybe I don't have as many partners.
I don't know,
Maybe
Mark. I
you're
still
more
have my
confident
hair.
in
I don't know
what
what
you're
you're
doing.
talking about. Like,
Maybe you got too close to the volcano. I don't
yeah,
know.
Iceland. There was those geothermals. It was hot.
But what about some other challenges then? Have you, what are some of the other things that you've encountered along the way?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Like my one of my first properties I bought in, or apartment buildings I bought in, well, my first apartment building I ever bought in Hamilton was sinking. It was an 18-unit vacant building, 544 King Street East, still there. So I partnered with a good contractor who figured out this solution that they used to raise runways and saved us a whole bunch of money, 50 grand back in the day, which was more than it is now. So that, but we had issues with partners there, really. We had one guy who was a great partner of ours, and then he had a stroke and he was nonverbal, and his brother-in-law took over his estate and basically thought he was the cat's meow and thought he knew everything and wanted all these records. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, your brother-in-law was at the property every week, coming through it. He loved it. Loved it. Like, what? Like, anyway, so now we have a provision in case somebody becomes incapacitated. They get bought out immediately, right? So, stuff like that. I don't know, like I bought one of my third properties
You
was
know, you brush by it though. This is what experience does, because you bought a building that was sinking. Okay. Like the majority of the people listening to the show, I think, anyways, are going to be people that maybe even haven't bought their first property yet. So, like when you buy your first building and it's sinking, like is the sky falling for you or what? Like how do you react to that?
Well, I mean, it's just a fact of how, what's the solution?
You
Number
knew
one.
going in, you got the
Yeah.
discount
Well, to be
because
honest with you, we didn't have it figured out then, but
no.
we're like, is it still sinking or is it sunk? What's the issue that we
Is it
found out as we were
settled?
renovating, it was still sinking. So that's when we were like, okay, we have to do something about this. Yeah.
Yeah, just figuring it out, right? Looking at the solutions,
There's
not the what
always a
the problem
solution,
is.
right?
Yeah.
There's, yeah. And
It's
the biggest problem was it had washed away all the sediment below it. So we had to inject this polymer that bound with the sand and basically made a concrete under there.
right
Very
on.
neat. Made our own bedrock. Because if we had to, sorry. Yeah. Because if we had to go down to bedrock, I think it was like 100 feet or something.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That would have cost you a fortune.
50 grand more. I think our
Right.
solution was 20 grand back in the day.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like that's exactly what I've been, seeing and, experiencing too, right? You just come up with solutions. You try to figure it out. You come up with different ways to get things done, right?
Well, I think really understanding that there is going to be problems.
Yep.
I think like not just, and obviously you're not going to know what they're going to be until you buy the building that's sinking. And then you're like, okay, that's the problem I have. But whatever it is that you encounter, there's going to be a way out of it, right? And someone probably who's been through it that can help you.
Yeah, 100%. There's always someone, and it's whatever your net worth is, your network, right? Like, and I got great people I can call every day now that have done stupider shit than I have. And I'm like, hey, this is what's going on. They're like, oh, I'll come out and have a look. And oh yeah, we just did this over here. We'll sort you out, right? So
Yeah,
that's good.
it's always helpful. I mean, that's exactly it, right? You're asking your network and how they did this and then coming up with a solution. Absolutely. Mark is always good for stories. I love I always like chatting with him because he's always got something new that
Well, so I got another good. So I think my third property ever, I still own this property, 26 Ottawa Street in Hamilton. So we bought it, and it was, I mean, it was crackhead paradise in there. But the day after we bought it, the one of the crackheads didn't like the other crackhead and took a poop on their door. Like not in front of their door, but like somehow got up onto the door and pooped all down the door. Like from like 4 or 5 feet up.
How do you do that? I have no
I
idea.
don't know. We didn't have video of it, so I can't tell you. But I mean, my property manager calls me and I just start laughing. And he's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, well, number one, I don't have to clean it. Number two, it's pretty funny. Like, and that guy's gonna go, right? Like pooping on somebody else's door. He's easy to get out now. Like, and they're like, I guess so. I'm like, yeah, we'll just clean it up. Don't worry about it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah,
That's
you
funny.
like.
I had one of my tenants break into the other tenant's unit and pee on all of their electronics.
What
And they
is
were
going on?
and they were sleeping in the unit when they did that.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never boring. That's what I find. That's what I tell my like. The staff is like, yeah, every week it's a new experience. Like you
Oh
got
yeah, new
something new
experience,
that's
new
going on.
cleanup either. Oh
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Never boring. So have you done a full cycle burr project in Alberta? So you've taken and maybe you can walk through a little bit of like the high level, kind of like the steps and how you were able to pull your capital out and what
Yeah.
that kind of and the length of time, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so basically I what I do now is I do a bridge with construction financing on it from like a PKL or Equitable or something like that. And they'll do my construction financing for me, and they'll loan 80% purchase and 75% of construction. And yeah, we'll go in and do the we'll raise the rent, do the work on people who leave. We can turn that in 6 to 9 months, and then we're basically just waiting on CMHC at that point. So we're typically running about 9 to 15 months to burr it right now, and we'll move it into an MLI Select 95% 50-year AM mortgage right now, which is like less than 4%. So
Yeah, I've been hearing rumblings that that's going to be going away next year. So
I don't know about that. I don't even care, to be honest with you. If I had, so when I started out there, it wasn't a thing,
No,
right?
you've got
It was
your project.
15% down, 40-year AMs, and I'm like, that's fine. As long as I can get 15% down, 40-year AMs, I'm pretty happy. So
No.
5% down, 50-year AMs were like, oh, even better.
Yeah, and I'm just giving you a heads up. I've been hearing, and anybody who's listening now,
You know what?
I've been
Who
hearing
knows?
that they're going to be getting rid of that program in next year.
On
So are you
refinances,
only buying
purchases,
buildings that
or
need work? No.
no, I would definitely buy turnkey buildings right now, especially if I could put 5% down. So
Yeah, I think the idea behind the MLI Select, is to increase the supply of
affordable
housing, right? Yeah,
yeah,
affordable
which I think
units,
it was
right?
doing.
Right.
Like they're building out in Alberta like you wouldn't believe using MLI Select.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think they're doing a lot of the infill developments and like tons of that stuff. Like I think it's working, but I think that from
Working
what I
too
was,
well.
yeah, I've been hearing that, that's why they want to eliminate it. So but that's always gonna it's always an issue with CMHC because they always change it all of a sudden, and then everybody is screwed,
Yeah,
right?
like to
Like,
be honest with you, I'll still get a full burr at 85%.
yeah,
So
with the amount of work that you're putting into it, and the
yeah.
yeah, it's
And
interesting.
the capital rise that I get.
And that's why you wouldn't want to take on partners.
Yeah. Well, that and I don't know.
So now are you looking outside of Alberta at all for opportunities or strictly Alberta?
I look in Ontario every day. I still think, like,
And you're not
again,
seeing anything that.
nothing that I have bought yet. I'm looking at some stuff that I might put offers in. But I mean, here's the thing, the story for Ontario is simple. They're not building enough homes. They'll never build enough homes in Ontario. There's no political will. It's too expensive. And people are going to move here no matter what.
Yeah.
So you increase supply and don't, or sorry, increase demand and not increase supply enough, what happens? Rents are going to go up. So long-term rents are going to go up in Ontario, even if you have to deal with all this stupid bureaucratic stuff.
Yeah. I mean, even the fact that they raised the CMHC limit to 1.5 is a demand incentive. It increases demand. It
100%.
doesn't affect supply. It
Yep.
doesn't help the supply, right? And all these governments seem to do, federal and provincially, talk about how much they're wanting to build and, needing to build. And then the actual numbers of starts, and it's just a ridiculous amount.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? So they talk about this Canadian housing bubble. Well, it's not really, right? Like there's not a Canadian housing problem. There's a housing problem in southwestern Ontario. There's a housing problem in Vancouver. Like I haven't really explored like Montreal and stuff like that, but I don't think that there's as much of a crisis there. You know, and rents are coming down in Ontario right now. Like we're seeing rents come down for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, particularly in the downtown core where there's a lot of condo units that have come finished and
Right.
now are being,
And they can't sell them,
yeah,
so yeah, but
the
that'll
renting.
reverse too, right? That's why smart investors are buying down there, especially if they're newer buildings and not under rent control.
Yeah, man, you're such a salesman. I always said that you could sell ice to Eskimos.
I don't sell condos though. Like, I don't sell
It's your
downtown.
style. I don't know. I have no idea.
Listen, I'm just telling you what a good economist I see. I think if I always buck the trend, right? I always try to go where people are not looking
Right.
because that's where you get your best deals. That's why I didn't go to the US when I sold those properties, because everyone was looking there. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Like, you're paying a premium, and thank goodness I didn't, because some of the markets I was looking in have gone down quite a bit, right? I think there could be an opportunity there in a little bit. But I mean, Alberta, I think, is the best opportunity out there right now.
Yeah, and that's why you're focused out there, right?
That's why I do a lot. Yeah.
So what's next for you then? What are your big plans going into the next year or two?
Gonna refinance three properties, and then explore. I really wanted to buy this townhouse complex out in Edmonton. I'd sold it to a client instead. I might look at something like that. I really like that type of product for long-term sustainability and holding it. Honestly, just refinance those properties, probably buy a couple more properties, but help a lot of people buy and sell real estate in Ontario and Alberta. That's all.
Yeah, and you're really focused on the multifamily market, right?
So in Alberta, definitely, like, I do mainly commercial. It's funny though, like, a guy just called me up. He wants to list his single townhouse out there, and I'm like, yeah, I can do it, no problem, right? It's an investor thing. I can probably sell it to my database. $195,000 for a townhouse, 3-bedroom, 2-bath townhouse in Edmonton. Rents for 1,700. It's not bad. No land transfer tax either, by the way, just
See, I'm telling you, I used to
saying.
Eskimos, man. Wait, see what I
Well,
mean?
when you're selling a good product, you don't need to be able to sell the ice to Eskimos.
It's like when I was selling Hamilton back in the day, I'd just walk around the Rain meeting and I'm like, yeah, you want to invest in Hamilton? They're like, yeah, but we can't find anything. And I'd just tell them, like, hey, come spend 4 hours with me. We'll find a great property for you. And they'd come out. I'd find them a great property. They would buy something. They're like, man, we've been out here 5 times. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, because I've been with Mark. I know Mark's style. You know what he does? He says, like, okay, we've been to these four properties. Which one are you going to buy? Right?
They're the
Like,
best ones.
yeah,
Why
you don't
not? Need to look at any of the rest,
that's right. I
right?
was like, why are you waiting? Like,
Yeah.
what's your problem?
I think when you do know how to, look at the numbers and pick the right places to show the investors at the time, like, really, those are the best choices out there.
Quentin, when have I ever steered you wrong? If you had bought those properties, you would have more money now than you did, than you do.
Sure, absolutely. But I would say for all the properties, I mean, I ended up buying anyways, just in a different market,
I know
right?
that.
Yeah.
But,
But
like, I mean, would you be own as many apartment buildings right now if I didn't harass you for a long time to start
no,
buying?
you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, you kind of changed my mind around apartment buildings for sure. Because I was really in the
You were
one to four
so
units.
skeptical, and you're like, okay,
Yeah.
I'm buying this 6 or 8 unit, whatever it
That's
was.
right. Yeah, it was
I'm
a
going to
six
prove you
unit.
wrong, Mark.
Yeah. And then I
And then, like,
refinanced
six months later, you're like, God damn it, Mark.
it. You're right.
It's a
Yeah.
bad problem to have. You,
I
like, you, really, you were willing to lose money just so Mark would be wrong. Is this what I'm hearing?
I was testing it. I was testing it, and then I got hooked because the numbers work so well, and it was just a better way to invest for me. Like, apartment buildings are a much better way to invest because they have scale,
And
right?
the commercial financing, they don't care what your income is.
That's right. Yeah, it just makes it, it's 75% on the building and then 25% on your net worth, right? And if you have those things and the building makes sense, then you can get financing, right? So it makes a huge difference.
So Mark, you were like, I know you've been on the show a couple other times, like just drop-ins, I think, at the Investor Forum and
Yeah.
maybe another
And
one
where
back
I was
then.
on one other time, I think I was
Yeah,
like
you,
one of your first
one of the first ones. It was
10
episode
or something.
17. It was
Oh,
10
17.
years
Yeah.
ago.
There you
10
go.
years ago.
Holy
Yeah.
cow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he's only got better
I look the
looking
same. You
now.
look a lot older, so.
Oh,
You're talking
Quinton, you
to
weren't
Quinton,
even
right?
there, so
That's right.
you definitely
That's
look
right.
older than
But you
Sandy.
knew him back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I would suggest that anyone listening go back and listen to that, and just see the difference.
Shit, I might go back and listen to it so I can
Yeah.
remember what I was doing 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
you're.
thank you, Mark, for coming on today. I appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us. And what is the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
Instagram, mark.loeffler13. Instagram's the best way. I haven't done a YouTube video in 10 months. I
Why
don't
is
think,
that?
I don't know. It's a lot of work, for not a lot of reward, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's the basics of it. Unless you want a longer analogy, we can have a coffee and I'll tell you why,
Yeah.
particularly, but that's the basics of it. Yeah. But
Yeah.
Instagram, hit me up.
Okay. We're gonna have the link in the show notes for you there. And
Or go to my new Facebook business page, Loeffler and Co. I literally just made it so I could do Facebook ads.
Loeffler
okay.
and Co.com, right?
We'll have that link in there
Or,
too.
yeah.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your time again. Quentin, how can people get in touch with you?
If you want to do a 15-minute call with me, you can go to quintindesouza.com. I'm happy to chat a little bit about real estate if you need a little bit of help. I can give you 15 minutes. Otherwise, you can come out to Durham REI. I've got meetings every month. We always have some good speakers, and it doesn't cost you $15,000 to attend.
Right.
All
It's
right.
a
And
Durham
Quinton will buy you a
REI.
burger
You get much more reward than what you got to
after
pay when you go to Durham REI, that's for sure.
too. Now, how about you? How can people get in touch with you, Rob?
You can reach me at rob@mrbreakthrough.ca. Just give me an email, rob@mrbreakthrough.ca. So thanks
And
everyone for listening. What? You're going to say something? You got something
yeah,
else to
what
say?
about your any updates on your hotel? You got your
It's up and
hotel going
running. You know,
up and
go over to
running. Okay.
Mantaray Lodge, CR,
There's a
dot com.
hotel? Yeah,
Yeah,
he's
we
got a
got a little
hotel. We got to
hotel
go.
in
We got to
Costa
go,
Rica.
Mark. Costa Rica.
Okay, I'm in. We can arrange a hike or
Anytime.
something too while we're there. Like maybe do like a hike, like a couple
Sold.
days.
Yeah.
All right.
Mastermind, let's go. Write this shit off.
Yeah, get a group down. We've got 8 rooms. I was thinking maybe in the future get some of those like little
Yeah.
yurts or something like that and put them there too if we need some more.
I don't know. Well, maybe it sounds there are a lot of people who are interested in that sort of
Yeah, I
stuff.
know. That's why. It's
Yeah,
like you
yeah.
just it's for the photo op.
Oh yeah. You'd have your Instagram wall somewhere there at Monterey Lodge, right? Do you have your Instagram wall somewhere?
Instagram wall? What do you
Yeah,
mean?
you have to make it so you have an Instagram wall so that people tag your business in there, so then they start following you.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What is an Instagram
I
wall?
only know this because I've been to Airbnbs and this is what they have, so they get
Yeah.
tagged in it. And yeah, so
Yeah.
basically Quentin's trying to look young and hip in front of as
But
the
what
older
is
guy
it?
on this
Explain
call.
it to me.
It's
What do you
literally
mean?
like an
Yeah.
accent wall.
Yeah, you get a local artist to do it for you, and you include some of the sea turtles or
Oh, okay. I
whatever
got
like
you.
you
Just
have,
somewhere where they'll stand and
and they
put like do
stand
a post.
and you have like you're at
Selfie
Monterey
wall.
Lodge or whatever
Right. Yeah, yeah,
in the
yeah.
picture somewhere, so that when they take a picture of it, that
A
they're
big logo
behind
is in the
it.
background.
Yeah,
Got it.
like
Okay,
angel
cool. Yeah.
wings, whatever, something that
I
people will put in the picture of.
think that one's way overdone here in Costa Rica, man. That's angel wings on every wall.
Yeah,
But
but
yeah, okay.
anyways,
Right on.
something for you to think about there, Rob. There's lots of ideas. Like, I mean, I don't know. I've been to a ton of Airbnbs, but like those type of things, I think like I've used them when I've got to Airbnb, so I can look like Mark does, right? When he goes to different places, like cool and hip, right?
Right.
Awesome.
But I
Well,
mean, like, there's plenty of, like, we just opened, but there's lots of stuff that we still need to do. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna plan to just keep improving and improving as we go. So, yeah,
nice. Awesome.
it's
Good
good. And I
stuff.
would love for you guys to come down. So, anytime, let me know.
All
We'll comp
right.
you up.
Sounds good.
That's
All right,
Clinton's
everybody.
favorite word, free.
Free. I like free. You like free too, Mark. Don't lie.
I
I
do like
know.
free, yeah.
I know you. Don't you can't do
Okay,
that.
sorry. I
You gotta put the
misspoke.
Instagram post out, though. That's
Our
the
favorite word.
our favorite word.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you
All
next
right.
time.
See ya.
See you guys.